equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It takes more than a day, of course, to actually begin healing. But at Virginia Tech, students, faculty, and families gathered today to start to try. President Bush was at that convocation.
As you draw closer to your own families in the coming days, I ask you to reach out to those who ache for sons and daughters who will never come home.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Before leaving the Virginia Tech campus, President Bush met privately with 50 or so family members of those killed in the murderous rampage. A spokeswoman describes it as an emotional get-together, with Mr. Bush and the First Lady getting teary-eyed as they offered hugs of support and comfort to those who suffered such grievous losses.
I'm Cammie McCormick in Blacksburg, Virginia. Authorities say the gunman obtained his weapons legally, did not leave a suicide note in his dorm room, and there is no evidence he had an accomplice. It could be days before the medical examiner positively identifies all of the victims. Governor Tim Kaine called the shootings a horrible tragedy and said he would appoint an independent law enforcement body to review how local officials handled the tragedy. Some students and parents have criticized officials for not canceling classes after the first two shootings Monday morning.
I'm Barry Beck. So many young lives lost. Senior Maxine Turner wrote in Facebook she liked Shakespeare, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Green Day. Ross Alamedine said he's into digital art, inline skating, the Beastie Boys. Mary Reed gleefully plays an electric guitar in a picture. Her Facebook status says she's missing the place where she left her heart.
The sense of relief and togetherness was palpably apparent today as people left that memorial.
That meant a lot to us.
It's what we needed right now, and President Bush being here and his wife Laura, just definitely what our community needed.
In fact, as Professor Nikki Giovanni's words of encouragement and affirmation insisted to be heard.
Through our blood and tears, through all this sadness, we are the Hokies. We will prevail. We will prevail. We will prevail. We are.
As her arms raised to her students, they responded, just the way college kids do. Some other stories today in the news. Former astronaut Lisa Nowak goes to trial September 24th. She is accused of assaulting her romantic rival and has pleaded not guilty to the charges. So many people were in over their heads with mortgages that really were too good to be true. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are developing new types of loans designed to help people avoid foreclosure. Otherwise, experts say the kind of financial disasters mass foreclosures mean could send the nation into recession. They say those programs should be ready by mid-summer. Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 52 points, NASDAQ down a point. Oil prices today, $63.10 a barrel, down 51 cents. This is CBS News.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. Their well-maintained late-model Hondas each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And WorkLife Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Paying taxes today, making sure Uncle Sam gets his.
It's time to get those tax returns in the mail. They're already lining up at a post office in suburban New Orleans to get in ahead of tonight's deadline.
I'm just doing them right now. Finally.
We brought it to the CPA on the 1st.
It's taken them this long.
Did it about 2 weeks ago.
Now, some people found a way to get out of having to do their taxes.
I didn't work this year. I fell off a roof and broke both my ankles.
Ooh. Perhaps a less painful way to get out of it would be to file a Form 4868. That's the request for an extension. Chris Miller for CBS News, New Orleans.
Trek, which builds more bicycles than any other company, is out with the Lime. It has a nice wide seat and on an automatic transmission. Really, it shifts gears automatically. Pedal pressure goes up, it changes gears. The idea is to get more people, those who don't really ride bikes, get out there and get some exercise. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, what can I get you, sir?
I'll have a tall cappuccino with a touch of cinnamon and some peace of mind, please.
You got it.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
Oh, and I'll have some confidence, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details or visit FordCPO.com.
Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
On Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., live from San Francisco. We've got lots to talk about over these next 3 hours, and I hope you can stay tuned for as much as you possibly can. We're going to kick off with commentary on the trial of Jose Padilla, an alleged enemy combatant. He's being tried in Miami. Professor Marjorie Cohn will join us in a moment. Later this hour, we're going to talk about the case of Paul Wolfowitz. Wolfie, one of the architects of the mess in Iraq, got rewarded with a promotion to the World Bank, where he serves as president, at least today. He got his girlfriend a gig after, well, going on a whole rampage demanding more accountability and an end to corruption among the clients of the World Bank. Also on today's show, Jason Leopold, the intrepid reporter from truthout.org, will join us to talk about that stack of missing emails and the ones he's been able to leaf through between the Justice Department of the White House. That'll become center stage Thursday in the testimony of Alberto Gonzalez before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Also on today's program, John Nichols, who writes for The Nation magazine. His latest book is called The Genius of Impeachment. And Dennis Kucinich has announced he intends to press for articles of impeachment against the Vice President, Dick Cheney. We'll talk impeachment and more with John Nichols in our second hour today. And we'll kick off the Free Speech Zone with commentary on the killings at Virginia Tech from Rabbi Arthur Waskow. He is a very interesting man who's been speaking up and speaking out very courageously over the years. We'll get his comments on our gun laws, violence in our society, and how the war in Iraq, in some ways, sets the stage for these kinds of events in our own country. That's all ahead. You can call in whenever the urge strikes you, and as long as the First Amendment is in full effect, we just checked, it is. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, and lots of great people do, peter@peterbcollins.com. Joining us now is the president of the National Lawyers Guild. She teaches constitutional law at Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. And she's got a book coming out in July called Cowboy Republic: 6 Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. And she may have to amend that subtitle and add a few digits to it. Professor Marjorie Cohn, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
And the book will be out in July. Is that right?
That's correct. And by the way, there are many more than six ways the Bush gang has defied the law. I just had to narrow it down.
I know how tough that can be. I wanted to talk to you first up today about the trial of Jose Padilla, which is in its early stages. They are questioning jurors right now. The judge has issued a couple of preliminary rulings. And there's been a whole backdrop or a run-up to this case, as attorneys for Padilla made a very strong showing that he is not competent to stand trial directly because of the treatment and the torture that he has received under incarceration by the U.S. government for years without being charged or given access to attorneys or family members. And the judge who is hearing this case, Marcia Cook, tell me what you think of her and the rulings that she has issued to date. In particular, she seemed very persuaded by the case of torture and the competence issue for Mr. Padilla, nonetheless ruling in favor of the government.
Jose, it turns out that his name is Padilla. I spoke to one of his lawyers, and evidently at one point he thought it might be less prejudicial if he didn't pronounce it the way it should be pronounced, but it is Padilla, and I think I might have corrected you once on your program.
You did, and I've...
Padilla,
I've,
and that was because that's what he was calling himself at the time.
And I've been following your tutelage ever since, and I'll correct myself going forward.
Right. At any rate, the judge denied Padilla's motion to have an open hearing on the issue of torture. She also said that this is just a ruling that she made yesterday, I believe, or the day before, as the jury selection starts, and that is that it is permissible for the prosecutor to refer to the September 11th attacks during the trial, as long as the prosecutor doesn't try to link Padilla with the September 11th attacks. I'm very skeptical about that, because I'm confident that the prosecutor is going to try to use innuendo to link him to the September 11th attacks, even though there is no allegation that he was linked to them. In the trial of Lynn Stewart, Osama bin Laden was dragged through that trial, even though he had nothing to do with the charges against her, and that was ultimately very prejudicial in the guilty verdict. Mm-hmm. It contributed to the guilty verdict. Also, notwithstanding the fact that there's absolutely no evidence that of any connection between Saddam Hussein and the attacks of September 11th or even al-Qaeda, Dick Cheney very recently intimated again that there was some connection. And so I would not be surprised to see an attempt during Padilla's trial to link him to the attacks of September 11th. Now, keep in mind that Padilla is not being charged with any crimes involving the United States. Although, when he was arrested in 2002, then Attorney General John Ashcroft interrupted his trip to Moscow to ceremoniously announce that a dirty bomber had been caught, that Padilla was suspected of setting off a radioactive dirty bomb.
Mm-hmm.
The charges that eventually came out against Padilla by the government, our government charged him with certain crimes, had nothing to do with being a dirty bomber, and evidently any intimation that he was a dirty bomber or had any connection with the radioactive bomb came from information that was gained from torturing other prisoners. So, yes, the rulings thus far have not been favorable to Padilla. It remains to be seen how this judge will rule during the trial. At this point, they're in the midst of jury selection, and, of course, it's going to be very difficult to choose a group of jurors who can put aside any kind of hyping of terrorism and look at the evidence before it and decide just based on the evidence whether or not Jose Padilla and his two co-defendants are guilty of the charges.
Mm-hmm. And, Professor, it's important for me anyway to underscore that Jose Padilla is a United States citizen, and that has never been in question. And it shows the unchecked power of this presidency, because Bush simply declared that he was an unlawful enemy combatant. This was prior to the misguided Military Commissions Act of 2006, which suspended habeas corpus and broadened the president's statutory powers to declare somebody an unlawful enemy combatant, and the package of benefits that comes with that. I'm speaking ironically. And so this is a very critical case in many respects because of his citizenship, because he was, you know, essentially treated as a non-citizen under the auspices of this administration. And we do know that he suffered, you know, great pain as he was incarcerated, and we believe that he was tortured, or at least these so-called enhanced interrogation techniques were used on him. He suspects that they slipped him drugs, maybe LSD. And so this, I think, is a critical case for the Bush administration and the Gonzales Justice Department.
I agree with you. One of the things that Jose Padilla is alleging is that they gave him forced injections. You know, keep in mind that Padilla was not arrested on the battlefield in Afghanistan. He was arrested in Chicago at O'Hare Airport as he stepped off the plane. He's a U.S. citizen, and yet he was taken to a military brig and held there for 3 years incommunicado as an unlawful enemy combatant. And it wasn't until he eventually got a lawyer and filed a petition for writ of habeas corpus, and the Supreme Court was about to hear his case, and actually the government's brief was due in the case. And on the eve of the due date of the government's brief, which would determine whether or not the president can hold a U.S. citizen indefinitely as an unlawful enemy combatant, the Bush administration quickly charged him with a crime and asked that he be transferred into civilian custody. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, one of the most right-wing courts of appeals in the country, who has been very sympathetic to the Bush administration in these so-called war on terror cases, was very upset at the Bush administration's tactics here and said, no, he shouldn't be transferred into civilian custody, and the Supreme Court should hear the issue. Well, ultimately, he was transferred and charged with these criminal offenses. But he, as a U.S. citizen caught in the United States, arrested in the United States, has been held indefinitely as an unlawful enemy combatant. And keep in mind that under this new Military Commissions Act, which Bush rammed through the Congress, it strips habeas corpus rights from non-citizens, but it also allows the president and the attorney general to designate a U.S. citizen as an unlawful enemy combatant.
That's right.
And hold him indefinitely.
Yeah.
And that's very, very disturbing.
It is, and it's un-American, unconstitutional, in my opinion. Now, we got about 2 minutes before I know you need to get going and teach a class. Today was the day that Alberto Gonzalez was supposed to face the Senate Judiciary Committee because of the shootings at Virginia Tech. They gave him a couple of extra days. And this is shaping up into quite a confrontation. I think you and I agree that they've got him for lying to the Senate on the manner in which he handled the dismissal of U.S. attorneys and whether that was a politicized process. To me, these issues related to the trials, the detentions, the torture, Guantanamo Bay, consistency with the Geneva Conventions, all of these are at the feet of Alberto Gonzalez and unfortunately will not be part of the controversy this week before the Judiciary Committee, but that's what I would like to see him address.
Absolutely. And, you know, Albert, I've written this in a number of pieces. They can be found on my website, marjoriecohn.com. And that is that Alberto Gonzalez is a war criminal. He advised Bush that the Geneva Conventions were quaint and obsolete. And curiously, the Nazi lawyers at Nuremberg also advised their clients when dealing with issues of Geneva to say that the Geneva Conventions were quaint and obsolete. And that characterization, which was adopted by Bush, led to the torture of prisoners in U.S. custody. But, you know, it's interesting because Alberto Gonzalez is really on the hot seat. He has been contradicted under oath by his right-hand man, Sampson, who has basically called him a liar. It's just come out that, in fact, Bush was involved. This is interesting. This is the tip of the iceberg, that Bush told Alberto Gonzalez he was concerned about one of these U.S. attorneys who was not sufficiently strongly pursuing what they call voting fraud.
Right.
Which is really a buzzword, according to Paul Krugman, for voting while black,
mm-hmm.
And which is what a lot of this is about. So I think Alberto Gonzalez is in trouble, and he's evidently been having practice rounds, and they haven't been doing well. But interestingly, in the Washington Post, in his Sunday op-ed, Alberto Gonzalez, in referring to the conversations he had with Sampson, said, and listen to this, this is what Alberto Gonzalez writes, during those conversations, to my knowledge, I did not make decisions about who should or should not be asked to resign, to my knowledge. That's lawyer speak for I'm leaving the door open so that I don't get charged with perjury.
This is going to be very interesting.
Yes.
Professor Marjorie Cohn, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, Peter.
Her new book coming out in July, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Infiniti Q56, a luxury SUV that's at the top of its class. This is a four-wheel drive, seven-passenger vehicle that's perfect for adventures with a trailer on the back. The Q56 has a muscular and thirsty 5.6-liter fuel-injected V8 engine and a five-speed automatic. Performance is impressive with power, acceleration, traction, and handling. Inside, it's loaded with all the electronics and creature comforts you'd expect, plus power tailgate, intelligent cruise control, DVD with wireless headsets, nav system, and good cargo room with fold-flat rear seats. It's $13,000 less than the Escalade, and I like the Q56 better. By the numbers, the 2007 Infiniti Q56 gets about 13 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $57,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Coming up shortly, we'll give you the lowdown on Paul Wolfowitz, who was one of the neocons who got us into Iraq, got a promotion to the presidency of the World Bank, and now he's in hot water over there for Oh, special treatment of his girlfriend. We'll talk about that with Jim Loeb coming up in a few minutes. And yesterday I ran out of time and was unable to play this entire clip. I've got enough time here right now, and I want you to hear John Stewart because I think it's very important. The innocence of the Duke lacrosse players got lost in the Imus shuffle last week, and this is how John Stewart treated the story and Nancy Grace's conviction of the guys.
Welcome back to the program. It's Thursday, and I know everybody knows what that means. Time once again for the Daily Show College Lacrosse Report! And I don't have to tell you what the big lacrosse story is. Cornell, the Big Red, retains its number one ranking with a gut check. 16-15 win over the Cuse, courtesy of a last-second goal by sophomore Mitty Max something. And, of course, in other lacrosse news, those three Duke kids who spent the last year presumed guilty of assaulting a black woman because the issue had huge symbolic resonance with the media. Turns out they didn't do anything.
Today, we are filing notices of dismissal for all charges against Reed Seligman, Colin Finnerty, and David Evans. These three individuals are innocent.
Our bad. So, put through hell for over a year, how will the media show contrition?
The rape accuser is Crystal Gayle Mangum. This is her picture.
She made us drag them through the mud. We shall now drag her through the mud. An eye for an eye. As for the real victims here, you may think they're the three men falsely accused. No. I think we're forgetting the true victim, the person who would stake the most on this case.
Tonight, the scandal continues at one of America's premier universities.
If nothing happened and all these allegations have been made up, why did the lacrosse coach quit?
Why did she run from the house in one shoe?
I don't think they want a lie detector test because they're afraid they won't pass a lie detector test.
Now, I know she seems nice. But what she's saying is actually unfounded and unfair. Not that during this case she showed total inflexibility. Here she is on the importance of DNA to the case.
The clock is ticking down on DNA results. They will make or break the case.
And here she is following a lack of DNA evidence on the unimportance to this case of DNA.
Let me remind everyone, the absence of DNA does not mean a crime did not occur.
But one thing Nancy Grace was consistent on was the importance of hearing both sides of an argument before making a judgment.
These recent court documents, Nancy, pretty much answer all the allegations, and bar anything else, reasonable doubt is there.
Well, I'm glad you have already decided the outcome of the case based on all of the defense filings. Why don't we just all move to Nazi Germany, where we don't have a justice system and a jury of one's peers?
That's a great point, Nancy, because you know who had a real hard-on for reasonable doubt? Hitler. But as always, for our sweet, sweet girl, God is in the details.
If these guys assaulted this lady and then ejaculated into a towel, you've got a towel with possible ejaculate in it.
A rape, sodomy, strangulation, and beating inside a tiny bathroom.
The oral swabbing. Vaginal trauma. Question, was it sperm?
Nancy, you little minx. It's just flan. Delicious flan. How many times do you hear that on TV? Seriously, was it sperm? Once we remove Imus, the whole place is cleaned up. Anyway, yesterday the truth comes out. The charges are dropped. It's going to be an awfully bitter pill for Nancy Grace to swallow. Let's see how she handled it on last night's show.
She took the night off. Very powerful indictment of Nancy Grace. Will somebody please get her off my television? This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit peterbcollins.com.
From
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and words can't describe the sadness I feel for the 33 students that lost their life yesterday at West Virginia University. Growing up in my family, getting your hunting license was considered a rite of passage. And I know in many other families, gun ownership and hunting is part of a cultural tradition that's been passed on from generation to generation. I've always considered myself a strong advocate of the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms. But after yesterday's senseless violence, it's time that we acknowledge that semi-automatic pistols, clips that hold 15 rounds of ammunition, have no place in our homes or on our streets. And they definitely don't belong in our schools, where all they do is harm our children.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
A Wiedersehen, Wolfowitz. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, Jason Leopold from Truth Out is going to tell us more about the emails. Some now suggest that President Bush was knee-deep in the U.S. attorney firings. We'll find out more from Jason. And John Nichols, who writes for The Nation and is a prolific writer. I mean, that guy really produces. We're going to talk with him next hour about a number of issues in the news. Ah, but first, the fate of one Paul Wolfowitz is in some sort of limbo right now. If you remember Wolfie, he was one of the neocons who is really considered a prime architect under Donald Rumsfeld of the war in Iraq and the mess of the occupation. And like so many Bush administration officials who failed in their first job, he was promoted. Promoted to president of the World Bank. A wonderful position that pays him well, but not well enough to buy new socks. And now he's in hot water because, as president of the World Bank, he tried to crack down on corruption, made that a centerpiece of his presidency, and it's recently been revealed that he went out of his way to help his girlfriend, Shaha Ali Riza, who was a World Bank employee and now is assigned to the State Department in a post where she makes more than Condoleezza Rice. And this is not sitting well in many quarters. We turn today to Jim Loeb, who is at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, and he's been following Paul Wolfowitz and the World Bank. Tom, Jim, welcome to our program today.
Hi, thanks a lot, but I need to make one correction. I'm from Interpress Service rather than the Institute for Policy Studies.
Well, my mistake. I just got IPS, and that's what I wrote down.
I think they're better known in Washington than we are.
Interpress Services. Okay. And give us a quick squib. What is Interpress Services?
Oh, Interpress Services has been around as long as the other IPS, but
okay.
We're based in Rome, Italy. We're an international news and feature agency.
Okay.
We cover mainly issues of interest to developing countries.
All right. Then that would make you a journalist.
That's true.
Okay, so you're not a think tank guy. You're a journalist, and I'm sorry I had the wrong information here.
It's quite all right.
I was given IPS, and I said, oh, yeah, we just had Steve Cobble from IPS on last week.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
We do have ties. I'm on their one of their advisory boards. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know some of those folks, Phyllis Bennis and Eric Lever.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. Tell us how long you've been following Paul Wolfowitz. I mean, not literally tailing him, but how long have you been covering him?
Well, I've been watching neoconservatives in general for, well, almost 30 years, I guess, even more. Wolfowitz, since he was a member of Team B in the mid-1970s, not necessarily focusing specifically on him, but on the general movement as a whole. And naturally, since he became Deputy Defense Secretary.
Right.
He's of particular interest to me. Although his tenure in the first, that is, the Bush father administration from 1989 to 1993 was also quite important.
Right.
In terms of the development of his basic worldview and strategic ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he helped author that farewell document that Cheney left at the Pentagon that gathered dust until Rumsfeld got there. Basically a whole plan to redesign and try to, reinvent our military structure. And it certainly bent a lot of people out of shape when Rumsfeld actually started to implement some of these ideas.
Well, that's true. It bent a lot of people out of shape when it was first leaked to the New York Times in 1992 because it created a vision of the United States as kind of the guarantor of peace and security around the world rather than the United Nations. And it called for a number of strategic doctrines that were indeed eventually adopted more or less by the second Bush administration after 9/11.
And Jim Loeb, my interest and my listeners have expressed a great deal of interest in the work of the Project for a New American Century.
Yeah, he was a charter member of that.
Right. Now, did his work in the Cheney Defense Department segue seamlessly to the Project for a New American Century, or what did he do in between there?
Well, he was dean of the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies here in Washington. And that's where he remained all through the 1990s, or at least after he left the first Bush administration in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
That was his professional position. He was always very close to other neoconservatives, particularly those at American Enterprise Institute and then later at the Weekly Standard, which is just a few floors below the American Enterprise Institute.
That's convenient.
Yeah. His association, for example, with Richard Perle, who's obviously a very important person at the American Enterprise Institute, really dates back to the early 1970s. When they opposed various arms agreements and were students of Alfred Wohlstetter, who was a strategist at Rand Corporation.
Yeah. All right, so Project for a New American Century, how do you view that? Do you see it as the blueprint for our current situation in the Middle East, that this is the visionary document, or it's not just one document, but a visionary body of thought that has propelled the Bush administration into Iraq and up to the brink with Iran?
Well, in 1996, Bill Kristol and Bob Kagan, who's at the Carnegie Endowment, wrote an article for Foreign Affairs magazine on essentially their vision. Much of it was based on that defense planning guidance that Wolfowitz helped to write under the first Bush administration. And that article became essentially the basis of the for the founding of the Project for the New American Century, of which Kagan and Kristol were the principal organizers. And PNAC, as we know it, yes, over a period of time it produced a number of documents of various kinds, at least under its auspices, in which they elaborated on the ideas first contained in that defense planning guidance in 1992. And I think you can say that that vision did indeed capture the Bush administration after 9/11. I'd say, though, that there are kind of two visions involved. And one is a global vision, which is consistent with that defense planning guidance. And the other is a more regional vision that some people date to another document that was published in 1996, which is called the Clean Break, in which a group of six people, including Perle and Douglas Feith, who would become Wolfowitz's deputy at the Defense Department, and David Wormser, who was a MIDI specialist for Vice President Cheney, put together a kind of program for incoming Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which essentially called to for a break from the Oslo process and from any Middle East peace process that was based on land for territory. And this particular paper suggested that the most important thing to do for Netanyahu was to try to destabilize Syria, and the way to do that was to begin by overthrowing Saddam Hussein by force if necessary and installing a sympathetic government in Baghdad.
We're talking with Jim Loeb, who is with the Interpress Services here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about Paul Wolfowitz and gotten a little history here about how he worked in the Reagan administration, then the first Bush administration, and then was at Johns Hopkins University, influential with PNAC, the Project for a New American Century. And then we know he was appointed one of the top deputies to Donald Rumsfeld at the Defense Department and was quite a player post 9/11 in pushing for action against Iraq, even though there was clearly no evidence connecting Iraq to 9/11. Richard Clark has identified those issues pretty well, among others. And then we'll fast forward here, Jim, because Wolfowitz was there at the Pentagon, and he left in 2005 to accept a, as I say, a nice promotion, laterally, of course, but to president of the World Bank. What were the motives of Donald Rumsfeld and others in permitting him to move on from the Pentagon at that time?
Well, I think it was pretty clear by that time that the occupation of Iraq was a lot more difficult than Wolfowitz and others had suggested it would be before. And both Wolfowitz and the person under him, who was the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, Doug Feith, had become serious liabilities, especially among Republicans in Congress. And the idea was to get rid of them. And why did he get the World Bank? I think that's caused a lot of scratching of heads because he has very limited development assistance. But I guess it was, I think most people believe it was a reward, if you will, for his loyal, if rather damaging service.
Well, and they had parked Max Cleland over at the XM, the Export-Import Bank, so I guess there are only so many sinecures left. Now, Wolfowitz came into the World Bank and has made at least a strong showing of his desire to clean up corruption, particularly in third world countries that take loans from the World Bank, and then dictators or cronies siphon off the money, and very little of it often gets to the citizens or to the points where it was intended to go. And against that backdrop, over the last few weeks, at least in my view, starting with a pretty powerful profile of Wolfowitz in The New Yorker, we've learned more about his relationship with companion Shaha Ali Riza. Now, when did Wolfowitz separate from his wife?
I'm not certain when it was final, but it was around the time that he entered the administration.
Mm-hmm.
Though I think the relationship outside the marriage began quite a bit before that. In fact, there's a kind of insider newsletter in Washington known as the Chris Nelson, or the Nelson Report. It's put out by a guy named Chris Nelson, who's extremely well-connected. And he just wrote yesterday that Wolfowitz was originally considered in 2001 to head the CIA. But what made that impossible, according to Nelson's account, which is based on Republican sources, was that he was engaged in this affair at the time with a foreign national, and that essentially disqualified him from the post.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we don't know exactly when he started a relationship with Ms. Riza, but we do know that he separated from his wife, and then when he was promoted to president of the World Bank, she was working there.
Yeah, she was an employee of the bank at the time. That's
mm-hmm.
correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she'd worked there about 7 years and was a senior communications officer for the Middle East region within the bank.
Uh-huh. And at what point did he recognize at least the appearance of a conflict of interest and work to move her over to the State Department in a job that it turns out pays more than the Secretary of State herself, and put her reporting to Liz Cheney?
Well, he brought it up on his own before he even signed the contract with the bank. It was well known around Washington that this relationship had been going on for some time, so mm-hmm. it was not something he could really hide, and I don't think he did. I think he said right at the beginning, this is an issue that has to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the board that, and the board set up an ethics committee, and he told the ethics committee that, and then things kind of proceeded from there. The major problem that he faces is essentially twofold. One, that despite his pointing this out, it was he who negotiated the specific terms of what became a secondment package by which she would be seconded to the State Department. And it was he who insisted on the terms, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of his defenders say that was justified because the board and the ethics committee were not taking responsibility. That's kind of the line of the Wall Street Journal, which is a big defender of Wolfowitz.
Jim, we're going to take a break, and we'll pick up there as we continue. Jim Loeb is my guest from Interpress Services. We're talking about Paul Wolfowitz, who's under fire as president of the World Bank. We'll detail more of the allegations here after we take a break. If you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes away from the hour. My guest is Jim Loeb, a journalist with Interpress Services, and we're talking about the current controversy engulfing Paul Wolfowitz. He is the president of the World Bank, former deputy secretary of defense, and a key architect of the mess we have in Iraq, and he's now president of the World Bank. Jim, New York Times today reported an interesting item here that we can kind of add to the timeline that we constructed in our first segment. In 2003, the Defense Department directed a private contractor to hire Shaha Ali Riza, the companion of Paul Wolfowitz, to spend a month studying issues related to setting up a new government in Iraq. And it appears that she declined payment but just accepted expense reimbursement for that trip. And then she briefed members of the World Bank's executive board on efforts to rebuild after the American invasion. So that kind of suggests that even before 2005, when she was seconded, as you described it, to the State Department in a very special deal, that she got a special contract. And the New York Times reports that it was approved by Douglas Feith.
Yeah. That's been reported. I think there was an article in Vanity Fair about that arrangement. The New York Times elaborated on it today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an additional embarrassment for Wolfowitz, I think.
Yeah.
and makes his position even more untenable.
Mm-hmm.
But now, he may still hang on.
One of the other things that he's done at the World Bank, which is not uncommon, is that he brought some of his own people along with him from the Pentagon, and one is described as a real mean lady who scares the hell out of everybody she comes into contact with.
Well, her name is Robin Cleveland, and actually she was from the Office of Management and Budget at the White House.
Oh, okay.
But she worked closely with Wolfowitz and the Defense Department on budgetary matters.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, yeah, she's not a popular person at the bank, that's for certain.
And I pulled up a story during the commercial break, Jim, with your byline and Emad McKay, and you wrote, of the top five outside international appointments made by Paul Wolfowitz at the World Bank during his two-year tenure, three were senior political appointees of right-wing governments that provided strong backing for U.S. policy in Iraq. So this is a bank that dispenses credits and favors to people who've been helpful to the Bush administration.
Well, so it would appear. I mean, you know, a bank president has considerable discretion as to who he wants to bring on board. The question really is, were these people particularly well-qualified for the positions that they fill? Now, one of them, Ana Palacio, was foreign minister of Spain under the Aznar government, gave mm-hmm. strong support to the Iraq war. But nobody questions, like, her intelligence or her competence,
mm-hmm.
Although there are actually some conflict of interest issues that are now raising questions about her, though that dates prior to her appointment as general counsel. Another is the former foreign minister and who became deputy prime minister of Jordan. He just got an appointment last month, a very senior vice presidential appointment, and he's been extremely helpful to the Bush administration in Jordan vis-a-vis Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And a third was a Salvadoran, former chief of staff of the Salvadoran president and finance minister of El Salvador, and he also, El Salvador sent the largest number of troops to Iraq of any developing country.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, he himself is very, very closely allied to what we could call kind of neoliberal economists here in Washington who are close to the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
During his tenure in El Salvador, he worked very closely with them on trade and related issues. He also dollarized the currency in El Salvador.
Mm, interesting. You quote a Steve Clemens, director of the American Strategy Program of the New America Foundation, who has closely followed Wolfowitz's career. I believe that Paul Wolfowitz has used his tenure in part to reward those governments and individuals who are particularly helpful to the U.S. in the Iraq War. To me, that's a completely irresponsible approach to managing one of the world's most important economic development institutions. So that's a strong statement of opinion. Now, Jim Loeb, where does Wolfowitz find himself today? The president has said that he supports him. He says that about Gonzalez. And, gosh, just a week before he fired Rumsfeld, he said that Rummy would be there till the end of the term.
Yeah, I think it's hard to know. I think, you know, neoconservatives in general, and particularly from this administration, tend to be absolutely convinced of their own rightness. And feel that it's important to stand up for what they believe what their position is. So it may be very difficult to get him out. And I think a big fight underway within the Bush administration as to what to do, because he really has virtually no support outside the United States. There have been a few African finance ministers, a handful, who said they like what he's done on Africa.
That's because he forgave their debts, right?
Well, he played a role. I think that role is exaggerated. Most of that had been prepared by his predecessor, James Wolfensohn.
Mm-hmm.
But he has virtually no support at all in Europe, which is a major donor to World Bank and also has more votes even than the United States does on the bank board. He's been repudiated by the Staff Association, and again, I think some of the people he brought in have really alienated the staff. He himself is regarded as a nice enough person, and I have no reason to believe that he isn't, but the people around him are seen as somewhat different than that.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he can effectively manage this institution after this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's up to the Bush administration, and it is divided between the Treasury Department and the State Department, which I think both of whom believe he should probably go just in the interest of maintaining good relations with allies abroad, and with keeping the bank a functioning institution. That's the main interest of the Treasury Department.
Well, we're going to have to call Vegas and get a betting line going on whether Gonzalez or Wolfowitz will leave first. Jim, I want to thank you for joining us. Great to talk with you, and we'll get you lined up as a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, okay?
Okay, if you like.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us today.
Not at all, my
friend. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Please join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. for The Week in Politics with your host, Todd Hurlbert and T.C. Wraith. We'll cover presidential politics, see what's going on in Washington, D.C., and take a look at the local issues. And that taxi guy just might show up with an opinion or two. See you Monday at 10.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It was premeditated mass murder.
Police say a 23-year-old South Korean-born student named Cho Sung-hoi acted alone.
At Virginia Tech today, a presidential condolence call.
It was the worst day of violence on a college campus in American history. And for many of you here today, it was the worst day of your lives.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. We'll never know why, but now we know who. Authorities identify the Virginia Tech gunman as South Korean-born Cho Sung-hui, an English major whose writing was so filled with violence that it disturbed his teachers and fellow students. Cho's final work was a diatribe written in his dorm room.
After the whole rampage was over, it was there in Harper Hall that investigators found what's been described as a long, rambling, and threatening note. I don't have all the details of the note, but in it, investigators say Cho apparently blames other people for his perceived problems. There's language there, something like, "This is your fault. You made me do this."
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
Cho, a loner in life, apparently wanted to be anonymous in death. Sources say he carried no identification on him during his killing spree. And the serial numbers on the two handguns he used had been erased.
Both guns were purchased legally 5 weeks ago. CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan says Cho bought the 9mm semi-automatic pistol from John Markle's firearm store in Roanoke.
In order to buy the weapon, Cho had to show three forms of identification, including, as a legal alien, his green card. By law, he was also subject to a state police background check. There is no video record of the purchase because Markle told us those tapes, those surveillance tapes, are recycled every 30 days. Interestingly, Markle said the store sells about 2,500 guns a year and that buying a Glock takes very little time. You can be in and out in about 20 minutes, he said.
Virginia gun law allows the purchase of one handgun every 30 days. It's believed that Cho bought the second weapon just last week. Now this.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chop.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed
start
grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Virginia Tech family gathered this afternoon to mourn and to comfort one another. President Bush made the trip from Washington.
This is a day of mourning for the Virginia Tech community. And it is a day of sadness
for our entire nation.
Mr. Bush has ordered flags on government buildings flown at half staff until Sunday night. He met privately with the families of victims. Spokeswoman Dana Perino says it was a moving get-together with hugs and tears.
This is Jim Crisil in Blacksburg, Virginia. We needed that, the sense at Virginia Tech after a university convocation, a chance to hug, cry, to come together, to reflect on the campus carnage, noted university poet Nikki Giovanni.
We are embracing our mourning. We are Virginia Tech. We are strong enough to stand tall, tearlessly. We are brave enough to bend to cry and sad enough to know we must laugh again. We are Virginia Tech.
A Lutheran minister urged people here to, quote, reject the seductiveness of hate.
The convocation was solemn except for one moment of ebullience when Nikki Giovanni's words brought the crowd to its feet. As bad as it is, the death toll might have been even higher if some students hadn't barricaded their classroom to keep the gunman from getting in. And Dr. David Steckel, chief of staff at Montgomery Regional Hospital, says one young man saved his own life with a makeshift tourniquet when part of the femoral artery in his right leg was shot away.
He was bleeding significantly. He was an Eagle Scout. He wrapped a wire cord from apparently an electrical, something electrical was in that classroom. He wrapped it tightly, and I think he had one of the other students help him wrap this around his leg because he knew he was bleeding to death.
A dozen wounded people are hospitalized, all in stable condition. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed, on-time, professional-looking documents. And WorkLife Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Oh, yeah. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, John Nichols, who writes for The Nation, will join us. We'll talk about impeachment. We'll talk about the media post-Imus and a few other things. Ah, but first, Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter at truthout.org, the author of a memoir called News Junkie, returns to our program today. And this David Bowie music is perfect. Alberto Gonzalez rifling through all those emails, practicing on spending more time with his family, Jason.
Yes.
And he got an extra 48 hours because of the tragedy at Virginia Tech. I'm wondering if he thinks that's a gift or just...
You know, it's, I got to tell you, this is a strange coincidences that happen with this administration. Certainly, you know, that is a terrible tragedy, but I don't see how Gonzalez is going to be basking in the glory of an extra 2 days.
Yeah.
He certainly, let's just start with the fact that his statement, his opening statement, which he plans to read before Congress, which was published in the Washington Post over the weekend, doesn't even get to the heart of the issue, particularly, you know, the fact that thousands of emails contradict what he continues to claim, which is that he wasn't really that much in the know, and the emails say otherwise. In fact, I think that he is going to be surprised by the tough questions that Republicans are actually going to ask. And Arlen Specter and Lindsey Graham, two staunch conservatives, are just two members of the House, two lawmakers that intend to ask those questions,
right.
Senators rather. So I think that Gonzalez is pretty much cooked.
Well, why doesn't he know that? That's the thing that I wrestle with here is that it's very clear that he has lost whatever support he had. He was never that popular with Republicans in the Senate.
Right.
He was simply the president's guy, and they couldn't take on the president by denying Gonzalez his appointment as attorney general.
Well, what's even going a little bit further than that, I mean, he has lost the trust of the legal community. U.S. attorneys around the country have lost faith in him. He has zero credibility. I think that he absolutely knows that that is the case, but as long as President Bush continues to hold on to him and say tells him rather that he doesn't need to resign, that he will back him up, Gonzalez just won't step down. I do think though that after Thursday, I don't see how he could survive because I just cannot imagine how he is going to be able to answer those questions. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Kyle Sampson was up there, and his former chief of staff, and it turns out that additional documents that have been released after Sampson's testimony show that Sampson contradicted his own testimony as well.
Yeah.
In terms of saying that there was no premeditation, if you will, to replace these various U.S. attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's unless Gonzalez just comes right out and says, "Look, I lied. I misled the public. I misled Congress, the Senate." I don't think that he's going to be able to weather this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree, and I think that we can see very clearly the forces at work, but as long as the president doesn't ask for his resignation, it does appear that Gonzalez will stay there. Now, have you heard any rumors that he's engineered a book deal? That might be one way to hold on to his job until the end of the term.
Well, it certainly would be one way to, replace that loss of income. I think that this is a matter of stubbornness, clearly, on President Bush's part. It's certainly, he certainly has demonstrated that this is more about the president being stubborn, not wanting to give in to Democrats, which they see this as a partisan issue. They don't see this as a cover-up for what it truly is. And, Bush is just holding, or rather standing his ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the president, really has not grasped the how serious this is in terms of, there's no question as to whether the president has an authority to get rid of U.S. attorneys. But it is the question is, why were they fired? Were they fired to impede some sort of public corruption investigation? And why did they concoct a story, behind the scenes before any of this took place? So
now, Jason, to butcher a little chess metaphor here, do you think Bush's real reason for holding on to Gonzalez is that he's the pawn in front of Rove? And that, they've virtually cleared the second level at the Justice Department.
Right.
And so there's nobody really left over there as a fall guy. And Gonzalez really is standing between lowercase j, and Karl Rove.
Yeah, let me tell you, you know how I feel about Karl Rove.
You love him.
I think that there is someone clearly in the middle here, once again, protecting Karl Rove. And I think that part of Gonzalez's testimony, certainly what these lawmakers on Capitol Hill are interested in is how much the White House knew about this prior to this taking place. How far were these efforts coordinated between the Justice Department and the White House? And that's really what I think that they want to find out, particularly how deep was Karl Rove's involvement. Because, let's face it, Karl Rove's thousands of emails missing, Karl Rove's name is all over this, and certainly I think that that's what they're hoping to get at.
Let me nitpick here. You just used the term thousands missing.
Yeah.
Our friend and your colleague, Matt Renner, wrote an article for Truth Out using the number 5 million.
Right.
And today, Dana Perino from the White House press secretary podium said, that's just some wacky number that Crew cooked up. They're a left-wing group.
Right.
Where does that number originate?
Well, the thousands that I was referring to was what the Republican National Committee claims, at least, that relates specifically to Karl Rove. The 5 million is what Crew has stated in their report, according to their own sources, that the Office of Administration, I guess it's an internal White House probe, has determined that, or I should say back in 2005, that Harriet Myers was alerted to the fact that 5 million emails had gone missing since 2003, perhaps even earlier than that. And Crew, Melanie Sloan, mm-hmm. who is often on your show, I believe she'll be on today as well.
She's traveling today, so not today.
she had said in a conference call yesterday with reporters that this number, this 5 million number, was actually she found out about that through the White House, through some of her sources in the White House. So that doesn't all relate to Karl Rove, but the fact that there are thousands of Karl Rove's emails missing, that's certainly unless it's hey, I'll bring home the milk tonight. No, don't worry, honey. I'm sure there's a lot more interesting information in those emails.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold, and I want to dig into a story that you published last week that
sure.
Patrick Fitzgerald talked about missing emails during the Libby trial investigation. It should have been broader than that, but it ended up just being about Libby. We'll take a break here and return. If you have a question or comment for Jason Leopold, he's with us for another segment. And you can call in right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You got that? 888-573-8372. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And you're encouraged to email Karl Rove, kr@gwb43.com, and tell him it's time to go. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces. all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Come to Carmel's Spring Wellness Fair, Saturday, April 21st from 11 to 6. Experience demonstrations and receive information and guidance from experts in aromatherapy, massage, nutrition, acupuncture, yoga, and palmistry. Co-sponsored by the Yoga Center of Carmel, Pilgrim's Way Books, and The Secret Garden. At the Wellness Fair, you'll broaden your awareness of and connection to your body, mind, and spirit. Saturday, April 21st, come to the fair at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore on Dolores between 5th and 6th in Carmel by the Sea.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
All right, folks, let's get to it. Let's talk a little about what's happening. We're going to get a, let's take a look at King City. Highway 98 at 101 Grass Fire. It's burning near the roadway. The fire department should be on scene there by now, which is always good news. Other than that, it's fairly quiet. We're going to just mention some road work. Highway 1 southbound at Morrissey, the on and off ramps closed 24 hours a day. Road work scheduled through the 1st of May. Santa Cruz northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off ramps closed 24 hours a day for road work. Scheduled, it's actually going to last the 31st of December. Hey, by the way, Highway 17, no problems to report there, which is always good news. There's support brought to you by your genuine Toyota service. Toyota owners, see your genuine Toyota service center for the convenience and value of an Express Lube Plus. Oil, filter, and tire rotation, all in under an hour. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
Pay your taxes.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Yes, April 15th fell on a Sunday, and I don't know why, but today is the official deadline for you to have your federal tax returns postmarked and in the mail. We continue now with Jason Leopold. He writes for truthout.org, and TO has its April fundraiser underway. They are a nonprofit. They do a lot of great work. I think it's one of the best news and commentary sites for progressives on the web. And I encourage you, if you're in a position to help out, to pull out that checkbook or credit card and go to truthout.org. There's a donate button right there on the homepage, and I'm sure that it will be much appreciated if you can help out. Jason, I want to return here to the article I cited that you posted last Friday at Truthout. Fitzgerald cited missing emails during plane probe, and you cite a quote from Melanie Sloan of CREW.
Yeah.
It looks like Karl Rove may well have destroyed evidence that implicated him in the White House's orchestrated efforts to leak Valerie Plame Wilson's covert identity to the press in retaliation against her husband. Special Counsel Fitzgerald should immediately reopen his investigation into whether Rove took part in the leak, as well as whether he obstructed justice in the ensuing leak investigation. Well, one thing we can say is that if Fitzgerald does that, he's not going to get fired.
That's for sure. First of all, let me just say, as you know, Rove is involved in the leak. I think, was involved, and that certainly has been demonstrated. But with the revelation of these missing emails coming to light, the extent of his involvement may not be known.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues I brought back into the forefront in that story is the fact that it was 1 year. It took a year for Rove and his attorney, Robert Luskin, to turn over an email that Rove sent to then-Deputy National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley showed that Rove did have a conversation with a reporter regarding Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson. An important fact that he left out of his testimony with a grand jury and then an interview with the FBI. So, once again, it certainly raises new questions about how much Fitzgerald knew. And if he did know, I think what is interesting to me at this point is if he did know that, many emails had been missing and the extent of the loss of these emails, what happened? What happened regarding Karl Rove? I mean, certainly we need some answers is basically
now,
let me
ask you a question here about the potential for an executive privilege claim, because we now know that the missing emails and the most important emails aren't on the White House servers.
Right.
And therefore, are the RNC servers, even though they claim the emails have been deleted, are those subject to a subpoena from the Senate Judiciary Committee? And could the White House, they would no longer have any claim of executive privilege. Am I right?
Yeah, well, that's actually a really interesting point. First of all, the White House has told the RNC that before it turns over any of these emails to the Senate Judiciary Committee, that the White House wants to see it first. And it is claiming executive privilege. However, many constitutional experts and legal scholars have said there is no executive privilege once those emails or once that correspondence had been sent from an outside account. You just can't claim that. It's sort of like claiming that if someone like Karl Rove or whoever you have in the administration sends something about White House business via a Yahoo account. That is not no longer protected.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer falls under the guise of executive privilege. But once again, this is what the White House is claiming, and they're just claiming it and just out of thin air, just saying this is what we want. We demand that you give it to us first, and another showdown is underway.
Well, they've claimed a lot of sweeping powers without any underlying justification, so this is not really new. Dave and Eureka, join us, Peter B. and Jason, on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter B. and Jason.
Hey there.
As I see it, there is no way in the world that you could have an honest or competent attorney general as a part of this administration. It is the most corrupt, willfully corrupt administration ever, and where are you going to fit an honest prosecutor in effect? That just isn't going to happen.
I think that's the that is exactly what this issue is all about. Is that how do you trust Gonzalez at this point? And I think that he has lost all credibility and trust. And this is at this point it's. Even if he remains on board, I don't think that they're going to get anything done. Certainly not going to be able to appoint any further U.S. attorneys.
People asked who could be worse than Ashcroft.
Well, they found him. Yep. And of course, Harriet Myers is standing by. If she doesn't take the war czar job.
God.
Plug her in at Justice. Thank you, Dave. Well, about a minute remaining here, Jason. What do you want to add that I haven't asked you about?
Well, let me, since we're on the topic of subpoenas, let me just say that what just came out a little while ago, not relating to this, but Henry Waxman has just indicated that he is going to subpoena Condoleezza Rice to appear before his committee to discuss
her yellow cake recipe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if that wasn't already known by your listeners, that that was a letter that was just sent out by Waxman's office. So You know, it is the season of subpoenas.
Yeah. Well, it's getting interesting.
It
and
certainly is.
This is going to be, I think Thursday is going to be fascinating.
I think it's going to be a historic day.
Yeah. Well, we will keep an eye on it. Jason, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
Jason Leopold from truthout.org. Read all about it on the web, truthout.org. Coming up next, John Nichols returns. We haven't talked to him in a while. He's an intrepid reporter for The Nation magazine. He's based in Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to talk with him about the prospect of impeachment. There's a rally this Thursday on the Capitol steps, and I think John's going to be there. We'll talk to him about that and other issues coming up next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Our assistant producer is Brian Urban.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Worst in U.S. history. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Why do we hear that over and over, that what happened at Virginia Tech was the worst shooting rampage in U.S. history? It implies that this is so outrageous we're going to do something about it. But what? A better alert system? Okay, except the maniac with the gun will always get there first. More gun restrictions. Virginia Tech specifically banned guns from dorms and classrooms. That didn't stop Cho Sung-hee. You could argue all it did was guarantee he'd have no trouble till the police got there. Keep foreigners out. Cho was a resident alien, but the professors who blocked the doors were also from other countries. One of them was shot dead blocking the door while students jumped onto the bushes below. There's one thing you could do. Plant bushes below all classroom buildings. Make sure no classroom is higher than three stories. Make sure they have windows you can open quickly. But that's about all. America's philosophy is that we don't blame the weapon, we blame the person who misuses it. But since no background check is going to tell you when a student is going to snap over a girlfriend, preemption is off the table. And so all that's left is to explain it away, point out that more people die in car crashes or falling down the stairs or slipping in the bathtub, and keep that up until the news from Baghdad once again reclaims the news cycle and we push the images aside until the first anniversary and maybe the second anniversary. By which time, the new shrubbery should be tall enough to break a fall. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM,
or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Our bodies function best when we're in the right pH range, and to begin to rot when we're not. Native pH Rescue can make the difference between enjoying a vibrant life or suffering a state of constant decline by helping balance your pH so you let go of aches, pains, and needless suffering. Years of wisdom from Native tradition combined with current nutritional research have given us a simple but effective formulation. Feel better now. Call 1-866-972-3461 or visit www.nativehealthradio.com.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
John Nichols joins us this half hour. His latest book, The Genius of Impeachment. John Nichols writes for The Nation. He's the editorial page editor of the Capital Times in Madison, Wisconsin. And his books are many, but the most recent and the most salient for our discussion today is called The Genius of Impeachment, The Founder's Cure for Royalism. John Nichols, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be on with you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. And you're on location. You're giving a talk a little later tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy time, and I apologize for being so hectic. But, look, we are at the moment where people really are starting to talk about impeachment, and it's no longer a, sort of a pipe dream or a fantasy or even a goal. The discussion has expanded to such an important point now that, I got to be honest, I have to put some limits on it, but I and, frankly, a number of other people have been banging on this for a long time. Find that we could be out every night talking about it.
Yeah. And there is a rally this Thursday on Capitol Hill. It's kind of a welcome wagon for Alberto Gonzalez.
It's actually going to be about a week. It's been moved.
Oh, it has?
Next week?
I didn't know that.
No, it just was shifted today. And the reason it was shifted was because, and I can't tell you for sure that this will happen, but I think that there is a very, very good chance that following the Gonzalez hearing and a couple of other developments, by the middle of next week, you will have articles of impeachment introduced within Congress.
Now, we heard a report that Dennis Kucinich has announced that he will author and introduce an article or articles of impeachment directed at the vice president.
Yeah, I think that's a certainty.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the reality is that Dennis was preparing to do it this week. He, I think, very wisely put it on hold until after the Gonzalez hearing. And frankly, look, this is a terribly traumatic week for America. And while we have to be cautious about allowing anything to get in the way of restoring the Republic and redeeming the Constitution, I think we also have to recognize that this is a time where a lot of Americans are going to they're going to pause and reflect on what happened at Virginia Tech and introducing new ideas and new initiatives this week is probably not the wisest thing. So my sense is that what you'll see with Dennis Kucinich is something in the next week. But I will tell you also, it may not be the only initiative. Mm-hmm. There is really a burgeoning discussion on Capitol Hill about the need to sanction the Bush administration for committing what are clearly high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah. Well, and just to embellish a little bit related to Gonzalez, I've said this to other people before, but I believe that this is a gotcha game. They got him lying under oath to the United States Senate about the political process that led to the sacking of these U.S. attorneys. But underlying it, I'm much more deeply offended by his moves about torture, about detention, the description of the Geneva Conventions as quaint, and his overall work as the torture boy for the Bush administration.
I agree with you, Peter, and let me offer you something that perhaps may be even more significant for the subject we're talking about today, impeachment. And that is that there's now little question that Alberto Gonzalez took the lead on, but certainly was not the only mover on, an initiative to politicize federal prosecutions. And the firing of the eight U.S. attorneys that we've heard so much about is certainly a significant issue. But the really important issue is what happened with the other 85 U.S. attorneys, the
yes.
ones who weren't fired.
Including a guy named Patrick Fitzgerald.
Exactly. But Fitzgerald is actually a minor player in this story. They wanted to get rid of him because he was causing them trouble. But what's really significant is that there are a number of U.S. attorneys who appear to have saved their jobs by mounting the sort of prosecutions that Karl Rove and the Republican National Committee and the state Republican parties wanted. And what we're beginning to see around the country and what the Senate Judiciary Committee and also the House Judiciary Committee are beginning to investigate are very detailed, very believable reports of politicized prosecutions. A case in Wisconsin where a state employee was put in jail in federal prison for 4 months in an apparent attempt to embarrass the Democratic governor. A case in New Jersey where a U.S. attorney brought a number of prosecutions designed to embarrass U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, who was running for re-election last year.
Mm-hmm.
A case in Washington State where you had apparently an effort to fake up a discussion about voter fraud. In fact, cases in a number of places around the country where U.S. attorneys put out press releases saying they were investigating voter fraud when there was no evidence at all of any voter fraud. And so what we really have is, I think, the makings of a monumental scandal that won't go on for a week or a month, but really will go through much of the rest of this administration and does touch on the president. Remember that the president's counselor said in March that President Bush did participate in discussions with Alberto Gonzalez about prosecuting so-called voter fraud and other political initiatives. So, you know, they were trying to defend the president and say he didn't order anybody fired, but they were not smart enough to recognize that the firings aren't the real issue here. It is the direction from the Oval Office that attorneys should use their power to advance political goals, even to put people in jail for political purposes. That's what we fought a revolution about.
We're talking with John Nichols from The Nation, and as I mentioned, his most recent book is The Genius of Impeachment, The Founder's Cure for Royalism. John, it's been maybe 2 or perhaps 3 weeks, but I had a TiVo accident at my house, and instead of recording the news hour on PBS, I got Scarborough Country. And I don't ordinarily watch that show, but a guy I know was on it, a guy named John Nichols. And they didn't give you much of a chance to talk, but impeachment was among the topics discussed. And I was floored because they didn't mention your book, and it appears that they didn't give you an opportunity to mention your book.
Well, I don't object too much. I mean, I've been very, very lucky with this book. It's it happens to be a book that's on a topic that it seems a lot of people are interested in. So, yeah, you know, you always, when you go on TV, you always wish they'd make a big deal about it. But what was important about the Scarborough appearance and a couple of the other television appearances I've done in the last few weeks is that cable television is slowly beginning to open a discussion on impeachment. Understand, and you do know this, Peter, because you've been talking about these issues for so long, but understand that the only barrier at this point to the impeachment of George W. Bush is popular knowledge. If Americans are aware that impeachment is not some sort of bogeyman, some sort of dangerous thing, but a tool of the Constitution that can be applied in times of crisis, and if they're informed enough to know that we are, in fact, in a time of crisis, then these sorts of discussions where you go on television and talk a little about impeachment, you do so in a reasonable way, are very, very important because they get ordinary people thinking about it, talking about it. And what we know from around the country, Peter, is this. When ordinary Americans are informed about impeachment and given the opportunity to express their opinion on it, they support it overwhelmingly.
And, John, this is I was going to come at it from a slightly different way, but I appreciate what you just said, and I think that's illustrative. The other side is that here on this program, my listeners have been ready for impeachment for well over 18 months, and they're chomping at the bit. They're angry at Pelosi for, quote-unquote, taking it off the table, and I share their feelings about that. On the other hand, we have a nation that is not up to speed on all of these issues the way you and I and many of my very well-informed listeners are. And so we've got a job to do here to bring people along and to open their eyes, and many of their eyes and minds are closed to this issue for a variety of reasons. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we face right now.
I agree with you. It's a challenge of imagination, not of necessity or possibility. And here's the important thing to understand, Peter. I think that support for impeachment is more viable, more real, more potent than even most people on the left realize, because I've had the rare opportunity to go out around the country and give now the better part of 100 speeches in communities of every size about this issue. I'm going tonight. I'll be talking in a town of about 4,000 people, a small town in rural Wisconsin, and I guarantee you we'll have a big crowd, and they will be enthusiastically supportive. Mm-hmm. I had a wild experience about 2 weeks ago. I was in L.A. and did this very glamorous event with Gore Vidal and Cindy Sheehan and all sorts of other folks speaking out for impeachment. We had a great crowd. Went down to Orange County, Republican Orange County. We had an even bigger crowd. And then got on the plane, flew back to the Middle West, got off a plane in Minneapolis, and drove to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is about as, you know, bread and butter an American town as you can get. I was speaking at a dinner there, 250 people. I laid out the basic crisis in the land at the moment, and then I said what I always say in my speeches, which is, my name is John Nichols, and I want to impeach the president. And this crowd of 250 people in, you know, rural Midwest, mm-hmm. up to their feet, applauded for 5 minutes.
Wow.
They were ready. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, I know your audience is about as good as you get in the country, but what they need to know is it's not just them.
Yeah.
Across this country, people are ready. And that's why I think that impeachment is possible. You know, I'm not saying it's certain. It's still a uphill climb. But I think it is possible because the groundwork has already been done. All we need now is leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democratic Party has been miserable on this because I don't think they understand, Democratic leaders, that, A, you can move an impeachment initiative at the same time you can improve and repair the country. The Watergate Congress did tons of great things on economic issues, on social issues. It was one of the better Congresses we've had. So it's not, impeachment doesn't prevent you from addressing a whole host of other issues. Also, it is, you know, at the time when a Congress focuses in on impeachment, the politics becomes so much more vibrant and energized. And so I don't think we need to worry that the real problems of the country are going to go neglected or unsolved if we begin to address a constitutional crisis. In fact, quite the opposite. I think it's far more likely that the real problems are addressed. And I cite a wonderful story that Dan Ellsberg told me. Dan Ellsberg of the Pentagon Papers.
Sure.
He researched, you know, the timing, the dates when Nixon went after him, and then, you know, when Nixon started to respond to different things. And he told me a fascinating thing. He said virtually every day that there was a major development in the Watergate scandal, particularly anything that headed toward impeachment, Nixon would pick up the phone and call Carl Albert or Mike Mansfield, the leaders of the House and Senate, the Democratic leaders of the House and Senate, and say, maybe we can negotiate on the Vietnam War. Maybe we can negotiate on the environment. Maybe we can negotiate on women's rights or some other issue. Because he was desperate to protect himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that desperation to protect made him more flexible than he had been at any time in his presidency.
Well, I agree. I think it's a boot to the windpipe, and the Democrats really should take a hard look at that, because if their real goal is to rein in this president's extremism, then impeachment would keep him real busy and reduce any kind of initiatives that the Republicans want to take on Social Security or, mm-hmm. you know, any and a whole array of domestic issues. So I think you have a good point.
You're right, Peter. If we're talking about impeachment, do you really think they're going to roll out some sort of scam to do more harm than they already have to health care?
Yeah, we got to take a break. We'll continue with John Nichols in just a moment. His latest book, The Genius of Impeachment, The Founder's Cure for Royalism. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Friday, 7:25 a.m.
I'm calling to register my disappointment in this decision that you made today to put the show on for 2 hours. It's barely listenable for 5 minutes, let alone 2 hours. I don't understand the thinking to take the show over an intelligent and funny, informative program such as Stephanie Miller or any of the other talk shows. I think it's a bad decision. You've lost me as a listener. I will now listen online to other stations.
End of messages.
People try to put us to town. Just because we can get around.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
And good afternoon, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest and start off with a problem being reported. Well, let's check out Highway 17. Looks like everything looking pretty good. No major problems to report there. No accidents. No stalls. Always good news there. Watsonville, however, not such the we have a problem there. Highway 129 at Carlton Road. It's a vehicle that went off the roadway and apparently landed in a ditch. CHP is on scene there. Let's also take a look at some, well, the only other thing that I can tell you about is our typical road work. Northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp there closed 24 hours a day. Going to mention that southbound 1, just a little bit of minor slowing from Monterey to Carmel. That's really the only problem we have to worry about. And support brought to you by American Express. American Express is offering 9 exclusive travel packages.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, the Free Speech Zone. We kick it off with commentary on the Virginia Tech calamity from Rabbi Arthur Waskow. And also next hour, an unscheduled Peter B. Collins apology. Occasionally I make mistakes, and I'm one of those people who feels the urge to admit it. We continue our conversation with John Nichols, who writes for The Nation. In addition to his book, The Genius of Impeachment, he's co-author of Tragedy and Farce, How the American Media Sell Wars, Spin Elections, and Destroy a Democracy. He co-authored that with Robert McChesney. And John, I got an email from Bob McChesney this morning about a crisis for small publications. The Postal Service is rejiggering its rate schedule, and this is a threat to small and, in some cases, progressive publications.
You better believe it, Peter. And you know, I think the best way to see what's being talked about with the postal rates, because it sounds awfully boring, right? You know, that sounds like about as dull as it can get, postal regulation.
Yeah, why don't you get some of those forever stamps and just put them on the magazine?
But the best way to understand the seriousness of this matter is that to think of it as very similar to what we talked about a while back with net neutrality, where if the big guys in the electronic and digital world are able to set the rules for the internet, they'll make money and the rest of us will be, you know, left out. That especially progressive voices will have a much harder time communicating. But similar to that with postal rates, if you think of the mail as a form of communication, much like the internet, but you flow through it either easily or with difficulty, these changes in the postal rates will make it exceptionally hard for small publications of the left and the right, and particularly publications that communicate to ethnic communities, to communities of color, to low-income folks. to get through the mails in an easy or effective way. They're essentially restructuring the whole postal code so that big magazines, you know, the multi-million circulation, ad-filled publications that, you know, I mean, and nothing against them, but women's magazines, sports magazines, things like that,
mm-hmm.
will have the lowest rates, whereas journals of opinion will have the highest rates. It's a terrible structure, and it goes against everything that the founders intended. You know, the founders actually talked about the notion that there should be no postage charged whatsoever, not a penny, for any newspaper or journal of opinion. That's how important they thought that sort of communication was to underpinning and supporting democracy.
And here's
our postal code changes will do is the opposite of that.
Here's something you can do about it, but the deadline to comment is April 23rd, next Monday. Go to the website stoppostalratehikes.com. That's stoppostalratehikes.com, and you can sign that online petition and help keep this information and opinion flowing in the United States. We're joined by Margaret from Asheville, North Carolina. Welcome, Margaret. You're on with Peter B. and John Nichols.
Well, hello, gentlemen. Thank you. I have a question about impeachment. Number one, we have to take Cheney out before we take Bush out.
I will not disagree with you on that.
The biggest the question that keeps popping through my head is once this goes into the Senate for the actual impeachment trial, the Supreme Court justice, what's his name, John
Roberts.
Roberts.
Yeah, he'll be the person who oversees the trial.
Well, exactly. And when he was being sworn in, after he got sworn in, he turned to Bush and looked right into his eyes, and basically, and I can't remember the exact quote, but essentially it comes down to, "I owe you." So how could he preside over that trial?
Well, I mean, look, that's a problematic reality. But the fact of the matter is that, of course, Bill Clinton must have thought, how can, Rehnquist preside over my trial? I mean, Rehnquist, an absolutely partisan Republican who had participated in every Republican presidential campaign until he went on the court, presiding over the trial of Bill Clinton. And yet, at the end of the day, most people thought that Rehnquist was an irrelevancy. He was inconsequential. And I think that really is the way that we should think about a Roberts presence. The Senate really runs the trial. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is simply a little more than a figurehead at the front of the room. And it's more symbolic to say that both the judiciary and the legislative branch are engaged with the process. So I wouldn't worry about it beyond your logical concerns that the guy is biased and that he's an imperfect player. But at the end of the day, if the train is rolling, if the case has been made for removing Dick Cheney and George Bush, and I think that case can be made, made to mainstream Republicans, then I don't think John Roberts is going to be able to get in the way and stop it.
Well, but he could, I understand. I hear what you're saying.
No, I know your concerns are legit, but at the end of the day, what we have to say to ourselves is, you know, do we let our fears of how these characters may try to subvert or undermine the process prevent us from advancing a necessary process? And what I say is, you know, we just can't.
Yeah, and you argue in the book that it's not optional. This is not something that Nancy Pelosi can put on or off the table. It is the duty of our legislators to fully investigate this administration up to and including impeachment.
I really believe this very strongly, Peter. I think that a failure to impeach, a failure to get serious about this at this time, does severe long-term damage to the nation.
Margaret, thank you for your call today. John, just a little over a minute remaining. I wanted to get your comments on the IMUS flap, and more important than IMUS and what that represents to me is the daily diatribes, the hate speech that comes out of Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, and many others on the far right. Do you believe that this so-called national conversation will lead to any reining in of their extremes?
I doubt it. I've got to be honest with you, Peter. I think that the IMUS flap was, I thought the issues involved were significant,
mm-hmm.
but I doubt that there's any real change. And I hope there isn't. I want our media to be freewheeling and obnoxious I want it to be offensive at times. The problem with our media today is that for the most part, it isn't offensive to power. It picks on a Rutgers college or university basketball team. It picks on, you know, moms on welfare. It picks on, you know, immigrants. It picks on anybody who doesn't have much ability to defend themselves, but it doesn't pick on George Bush or those in power nearly enough. So I don't want to put too many restrictions on freedom of speech or freedom of a press, freedom of what people say on radio.
Understood.
Because at the end of the day, I hope for that moment when Peter B. Collins has the microphone.
John Nichols, thanks for joining us. I'm out of time. This is the Peter B. Show.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Virginia Tech University called it a convocation, a gathering on campus of thousands in mourning. President Bush spoke, calling this a day of sadness for our entire nation. Later, he met privately with the families of victims.
People were in shock. You know, it wasn't but 24 hours ago that they lost a child, and now they're here trying to deal with it.
He and the First Lady offered hugs and shared tears. Around campus, students were grateful for the visit.
That meant a lot to us.
It's what we needed right now, and President Bush being here and his wife Laura, just definitely what our community needed.
The gunman has been identified as 23-year-old Cho Sung Hui, a South Korean English major. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports he was a loner who had violence on his mind.
Students in his writing class say that he often wrote twisted passages. They point to two screenplays that he wrote that talked about death and revenge, two things that seemingly played out here on the campus.
In his dorm room, officials found writing that seemed to foreshadow the shooting. Cho blamed others for his problems and wrote, "You made me do this." CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan reports Cho purchased his weapons legally.
CBS News has learned one of the guns used in the massacre at Virginia Tech, the 9mm semi-automatic Glock 19, was purchased brand new at a Roanoke, Virginia gun shop, Roanoke Firearms, 36 days ago. According to the store owner, John Markle, Cho Sung Hui paid about $570 on his credit card for the gun and a box of 50 rounds of ammunition. Markle told CBS News that all of the documentation related to the gun, including the firearms transaction record, was picked up yesterday by three agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
It's believed that Cho bought a second gun, a .22 caliber pistol, just last week, complying with Virginia law, which limits purchases of handguns to one every 30 days. Virginia Governor Tim Kaine, who cut short a trade mission to Japan when he learned of the tragedy, promises to investigate why the campus wasn't locked down soon after the first shooting.
There will be a very thorough after-action report of the event and the response. The university has asked me to appoint independent law enforcement expertise to assist in that effort.
And cautions against hasty judgments. New Jersey Governor John Corzine remains in critical but stable condition on a ventilator 5 days after his vehicle crashed on a rainy highway. State police revealed today that the governor's SUV with a trooper at the wheel was doing 91 miles an hour, the speed limit 65. The mayor of the Japanese city of Nagasaki is dead hours after being shot outside a train station. The Kyoto News Agency quotes police as saying he was shot by a gangster who was angry over damage to his car at a public works site. Dow up 52 points to 12,773. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's former owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakable, delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
There's been concern that in some young people, drugs to treat depression might have the opposite effect. But a new study finds no cause for concern. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Antidepressants are safe and effective for children and teens, says a comprehensive study sure to reignite controversy. University of Pittsburgh psychiatrist David Brent's team searched 27 medical trials for evidence antidepressants raise suicide risks.
Less than one child in 100 experienced an increased risk, and there were very few actual suicide attempts and no suicide completions.
Prompted partly by emotional pleas from parents, the FDA placed strong black box warnings on antidepressants. Brent believes it should reconsider this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A chair made by the Russian jeweler Fabergé has sold at auction in New York for $2,280,000. It's a rare miniature, just 2.25 inches tall. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone. You know how it works. We open up the phone lines, and you can call in and talk about any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And on top of that, we pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Michael Bean and the call, and I felt a little affirmation might be helpful. Most Americans are reeling from the incident that has flooded our television screens and newspapers in the last 30 hours or so. The grisly slaying of some 32 students at the Virginia Tech campus yesterday. We've learned more about the gunman. We've learned a little more about what happened. But I'd like to zoom out from the specifics and the tabloid coverage and talk about our nation's love affair, infatuation with violence. We serve up violence as entertainment on the big screen movies and nightly on our televisions at home. And we're responsible for the export of arms and munitions. Yes, we're number one in the arms trade in this world. And I haven't forgotten Iraq and Afghanistan, where the U.S. seems to believe that by exporting violence, we can win the hearts and minds of those who oppose us in other parts of the world. I've invited Rabbi Arthur Waskow to join us to kick off our free speech zone this hour. He's the director of the Shalom Center. He's written over 20 books, most recently The Tent of Abraham, Stories of Hope and Peace for Jews, Christians, and Muslims. Rabbi Waskow, thank you for joining us today on the program.
Thank you for having me, and let me say shalom and salam and peace to you and to all the folks in, as you say, the sound of your voice.
Well, thank you very much. And Rabbi, you too have drawn some bigger picture thoughts from the events yesterday. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, what's most recently on my mind is this. Late this afternoon, I heard on one of the radio shows the president speaking, and what he said was, this is horrifying. People who never did anything wrong, except that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, have been killed. And I thought to myself, what is wrong with you, man? You have arranged for somewhere between 200,000 and 500,000 Iraqis who did nothing wrong whatsoever except being in the wrong place and the wrong time to be killed. And in the process, you have killed more than 3,000 Americans as well, all for a war that the only purpose was your own sense of your own power over oil and, for that matter, over the United States of America. What are you thinking? Are you utterly devoid of any self-awareness? And I'm afraid the truth is he is utterly devoid of any sense of self-awareness. He is addicted to his own power, his and the ability to use violence in support of that power. And he sees it done to somebody else, and he understands it's horrifying. But when he does it himself, he doesn't understand it's horrifying.
Well, and Rabbi, this is another indication that this president and his cronies value American lives more than the lives of people in other parts of the world, people of other nations, cultures, and religions. And the very act of refusing to count the civilians who have died as a result of our invasion and occupation of Iraq shows, in my view, that there is this implicit idea that, you know, an Iraqi life simply isn't worth much, but an American life, well, that's worth, you know, apparently more than anybody else's.
He doesn't even care about American lives. What is it now, 3,200 Americans?
Well, we're close to 3,300.
And we don't even know how many thousands have lost legs, arms, eyes, genitals. We do know, we just recently discovered, that the rate of post-traumatic stress syndrome is higher already than it was, has been, for Vietnam veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it took years to build up, and for sure it's going to take years to continue building up in Iraq veterans. And already it's higher. So it's not only limbs and eyes that people are losing, but minds and souls. And it's clear day. I mean, it's not just him. In fact, if I had to think about one single person, you know, at the heart of this uncaringness, it wouldn't even be George Bush. It would be somebody else in that administration. They don't really care about American lives either. Look how they behave toward the veterans. While they constantly talk about supporting the troops, but once you're off the battlefield, even once you're on it, of course, the terrible lack of support have given troops actually on the battlefield, and then once he come home, into the ash can, into the trash can. So there is this disregard for human life. Maybe they care more about Americans than other folks, but they don't care very much about Americans either. The point is that in Virginia, it wasn't them who did the killing, and therefore they were able to have a little bit of compassion, a little bit of empathy. But when they send people off to kill and to die, forget about the compassion and the empathy. Remember, this is the president who, when the mother of a young man who had been killed in Iraq said she wanted to see him, to talk to him, not even at the most vulgar level of political expediency did he agree to meet Cindy Sheehan. He couldn't bear to talk to somebody who had actually lost a human being because of his decisions.
Rabbi, I'm curious about your thoughts, and I'm not an especially spiritual person. I'll just concede that. But I believe that the forces that Bush has unleashed affect all of us in a psychic way on an almost daily basis. And I'm not suggesting any direct connection between this student who brought his gun to school and dispatched 32 of his classmates. But I believe that we have contributed to instability in the world, and that instability trickles down to each and every one of us. What's your thought?
I agree with you. I think in ancient religious terms, we talk about idolatry, about making idols of things that might be useful tools, but that we turn into absolutes as if they were God. I think that American society has somehow turned guns and bombs and violence into idols that we worship. And one of the Psalms says, you know, if you make an idol, it has eyes that can't see and a nose that can't breathe and ears that can't hear, and the people who make those idols become like them, that is, dead. There is a consequence to making idolatry instead of celebrating the breath of all life, the interbreathing of all life, which is my way of understanding God and my way of understanding that ancient Hebrew strange four letters, the YHWH, which is not Yahweh and not Jehovah. It's just breathing like, I don't know if your folks could hear that.
Yes, they could.
That's the sound of a non-voice, right? That's the sound of a breath. Well, that, I think, is one of the deep names of God. But when you take the living interbreathing of all life and then squish it into death as your idol, then you end up with people dead. The story we just read a couple weeks ago, once again, of Pharaoh makes my hair stand on end, because the story of Pharaoh is the story of a powerful figure who gets addicted to his own power. And he begins, the story says, by when disaster starts striking, because he has hardened his own heart to the poor, to the workers who have become enslaved, he hardens his own heart again and again, despite disasters, and they're all ecological disasters, right? The river turns undrinkable, and an enormous swarm of locusts depletes the land, and there's a what we would call a climate crisis, right? An enormous hailstorm. We call these the plagues, but they're really ecological disasters. Plague after plague, he hardens his own heart. And then halfway through, the biblical story says that God begins to harden his heart, Pharaoh's heart. And people say to me, well, that doesn't seem like God's playing fair. What happened to free will? Well, I think what happened to free will is that it's like addiction. The first time you smoke crack, that's free will. You're making a decision. The second time, the third time, maybe the fifth time, maybe even the tenth time. At somewhere along the way, God, that is reality, takes over. And you're no longer making a choice because you've become addicted. Well, Pharaoh gets addicted to his own hard-heartedness until he can't stop it. And in the seventh or eighth plague, his own advisors, according to the story, come to him and say, don't you realize you are destroying Egypt? Like, forget about these creepy Hebrews. You are destroying your own country, your own people. And he can't stop because he has become addicted to his own power. He won't back off. Well, I think we've seen a couple of occasions now the present pharaoh-like structures of the United States. I don't think it's one single person. I think there's a whole bunch of institutional structures. When the Iraq study group said, hey, wait a minute, don't you understand? You are weakening America overseas and even at home. Find a different path. For about a week, there was, it seemed, maybe they were going to make a different choice.
Yeah.
And then, no different choice. The same thing, only more so. So,
Rabbi,
Peter, that, what you said about it, it affecting a whole society. When those in power behave that way, it does affect a whole society. It,
yeah.
It brings plagues, it brings disasters down on us all, and it changes who we are inside ourselves. Not even the disaster of the earth, like the rebellion of, mm-hmm. you might say, the Gulf, the Gulf of Mexico that right. destroyed New Orleans.
Rabbi, I'm sorry I'm late for a break here and I've got to run, but I thank you for joining us and I appreciate your comments today.
Okay, thank you, and shalom to all your folks.
Rabbi Arthur Waskow, visit the website shalomctr.org, Shalom Center, shalomctr.org. Now I want to hear from you. My lines are open, and I'm waiting for your call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie. I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave. A shrinking glacier. I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Traffic in the Monterey Salinas area. Let's get to it and talk about it. Well, things looking pretty good. We do have a couple of problems. We're going to talk about Watsonville 129 at Carlton. We have a fender bender there. Looks like a car went off the roadway and landed in a ditch. CHP is on scene, although they're trying to get a tow truck to the area to get that particular vehicle out of the roadway. And just a quick reminder that we do have Highway 9 Santa Cruz at Golf Club Drive. We have some construction going there. One-way traffic control, usually from about 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It'll end actually this Thursday, so we're just going to keep you advised about that. No major stalls or accidents on Highway 17, which is always great and good news. This report brought to you by Dextrin Max. Dextrin Max contains a vitamin B complex that helps convert food to fuel that boosts metabolism while reducing stress. Dextrin Max gives you the power to lose weight.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 24 minutes after the hour, we're kicking off the free speech zone right here and right now, and I only have one caller on the line. And I like to be honest about that, because in the talk radio game, we sometimes don't admit when people aren't calling. But I like to, A, acknowledge that maybe you don't want to talk about what happened at Virginia Tech, or maybe you're holding back and waiting for somebody else to comment first. Well, give us a call. Lines are open, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this or any other topic. We talked with Marjorie Cohn about the trial of Jose Padilla in Miami. We talked with Jim Loeb about Paul Wolfowitz and his scandal at the World Bank, taking care of his girlfriend. We talked about those pesky emails between the Justice Department and the White House, and the off-site emails that Karl Rove and others used. And John Nichols talked about the prospect for impeachment. So any of those topics are up for grabs. You can bring up something else, or you may want to talk about Virginia Tech and the comments that we heard just a few minutes ago from Rabbi Arthur Waskow. Joining us first from Santa Cruz, it looks like Paul's on the line. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, thanks a lot, Peter. My name is Paul B., so we have a connection there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say that I agree with the rabbi 100%. I feel that basically our president doesn't listen very well. And I feel when he speaks as well, it shows the disjointedness in his mind. In other words, if one hears clearly, one usually speaks clearly.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a problem in his verbal acuity, and therefore his mental state, I think, is a little shaky. But anyway, back to the rabbi, I agree 100% with just about everything he said. I mean, it's brilliant for someone who's got that spiritual basis to speak about political issues of the moment.
Well, and I thought it'd be interesting here in this Christian nation to hear a rabbi talk about it.
Yeah, I'm from that faith as well, from my birth. But I've since become a universalist, believing that all people are blessings, and therefore the religion that they carry or they claim is really not to be an impediment, but just like a flower in a garden, you know, another flower. But anyway, Peter, I just wanted to say I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening to you for about 3 months, and I think you're really right on. You're very sensitive, aware, but also a caring person who doesn't really harshly attack people, which I think is quite a breath of fresh air, and I want to appreciate I thank you for that.
Okay, I appreciate that, Paul. Good to hear from you, and don't be so shy. Call us again, will you?
I sure will. Thanks a lot.
All right, Larry in Aptos, you're next. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I wanted to bring up two things really quickly. Robert Perry has an article in Truth out today about how he thinks Bush and Cheney are really getting entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks that Cheney may have made his remark on, Face the Nation, with a smirk, because Levin and Obama, according to Perry, are about ready to cave in on the issue of the timetable.
I think you're right. We did talk with Robert Perry yesterday. I'm not sure you caught it.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to bring up, I didn't see the whole show, but I saw quite a bit of the PBS presentation last night about the Iraq War, Robin McNeil. And I have to tell you that I was very disappointed. I thought that basically the military viewpoint was the only viewpoint being presented.
Yeah.
I didn't see anybody interviewed that had an arm or a leg missing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see it?
You know, I'm aware of it. Unfortunately, it came on opposite The Sopranos on Sunday night, so I didn't get into the groove. And
yeah, well, this was last night.
I didn't see it last night either.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, again, I just thought that they were given the military point of view. The only criticism of the military was about the Abu Ghraib situation,
mm-hmm.
and nobody at the top of the food chain got slammed. It was all the, you know, the bottom feeders. They got slammed by their own rank.
Mm-hmm.
So I really and the show's being underwritten by Boeing.
Oh, I thought maybe Halliburton kicked in.
So I think that says it all, that Boeing, you know, they want this war to go on forever and ever. It's money in the bank for them.
Yeah, and it's disappointing about PBS. It could be such a great system if it had some independence, but it's been clearly compromised under the Bush administration with various appointees who did the bidding, carried that water, and imposed a right political view. And it really shows up in the news hour. And while I appreciate McNeil and Lehrer individually, you can't count on them to really blurt out the truth at any given moment. Thank you, Larry. More calls coming up next here in the Free Speech Zone.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Go ahead. Here we go. We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, 888-5-PETER-B. If you like it numerically, 1-888-573-8372. You got it?
Rock on off in that belly on. Take them all shots in the calm alone. Battle on your tone. And justice in tone. Who got the diamonds? Who gonna find them? Who gonna find them? I wanna find them. Diamonds and guns. Diamonds and guns. It's a wicked world that we live in. It's cruel. It's a fucking but it's a wicked world that we live in.
It's a wicked world that we live in. It's cruel. My lines are open for you. Again, the number is 888-5-PETER-B. Feel free to give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. You can talk about any issue of public concern. And that means, you know, that you and at least one other person care about it. 888-573-8372. As promised, it's time for an unscheduled Peter B. Collins apology. Let's cue the chorus.
Excuse me.
It may be clear to you that I'm not perfect, but every once in a while I like to acknowledge that. Yesterday, in a discussion, I mentioned, we were talking about Muqtada al-Sadr, and I believe I was talking with Robert Perry when we discussed this. And the way I misspoke was I said that Muqtada al-Sadr had ordered all of his followers to bail out of the Iraqi parliament. And that was not correct. He instructed six of his followers who are cabinet ministers to resign from the Iraqi government and told the members of parliament to stay there. So I just wanted to clarify that because I didn't get it right yesterday. And since I absorbed correct information in the meantime, I wanted to pass that along to you. Next, we go to Billy in Capitola, also known as Bully, according to Joe in Seaside.
How about that? You know, I'm just a little glad that as upset as he got that maybe he didn't have a gun available and didn't know where to find me.
Yeah, both.
Oh, boy.
Bully, bully, bully.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
You know, I love that left coast thing, and I'm calling from, 540 out of your Monterey station,
mm-hmm.
which when I read that thing, I like to say it's no coincidence we're on the left side of the dial.
Well, you know,
it lands us, you know, as a lefty station. I like that.
Well, when we first started the station, we had some recorded elements that referred to it as all the way to the left.
Yeah.
And Hal and a few other people thought that might... pigeonhole us as extremists, so we didn't continue with that.
Let me say something. I'm proud to be an extremist. I'm extremely into the truth, into fairness.
Yeah.
I'm an extremist.
And see, I consider myself to the left of the far right, and there's no shame in that. There's no shame in being considered a dangerous lefty by the lunatics who have moved the stripes in the middle of the road
exactly.
All the way to the right shoulder.
Exactly. When people think that the middle of the road is somewhere way on the right, no wonder we think we're extremists.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to quickly remind people that you don't get it right, we don't get it right. And one of your callers got it wrong, too, when he said, we've got to get Cheney first. Talking about impeachment.
Right.
And no, we don't. We got to get anybody we can get. You know, get whoever comes up first, get whoever the information takes us to. And as far as that, I mean, think about it. If we got rid of Bush and then Cheney was president, Oh, is that good? I mean, that really guarantees the Democrats, those chicken worthless people, would win.
Well, I understand your thought there. I guess I'm I consider myself to be a little more pragmatic and hopefully prudent. And I do agree that strategically it makes sense to name Cheney first in a bill of impeachment. And it would then put the administration on notice that the Congress is asserting itself, that it has discovered, if there is a bill, high crimes and misdemeanors. I think they're high crimes. I think they're treason. I think that he has repeatedly violated his oath of office to uphold the Constitution. And I believe that ultimately a fair trial in the United States Senate would lead to his removal.
But to quote Tenet, I believe, it's a slam dunk.
So then we have to say, okay, what if we get what we wish for? And that would be that Cheney would then be removed as vice president, and under the 25th Amendment, Bush would be entitled to name a replacement subject to Senate confirmation.
I see where you're going.
That Senate confirmation makes sure that whoever he appoints is somebody that the Democratic leaders, the Democratic majority, as thin as it is in the Senate, could live with. And even then, if there isn't time or, for whatever reason, the ability to ultimately impeach and remove Bush, he's clearly on notice that his leash has been pulled in, that the Senate and the House are no longer going to get out of his way or rubber stamp his most egregious decisions. And given the time remaining in this administration's term, I think that would be adequate. Now,
I think that makes a lot of sense, but I really disagree, and I'll tell you why when you're done.
Okay, and on an ideal level, I'd like to do a twofer. I'd like to impeach them both at the same time, and of course, then that leads to the potential perception driven by the right-wing noise machine that this is all Pelosi's desire to become president. And, of course, she would be third in line if we were able to impeach both of those guys.
Yeah,
your thought. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm thinking of is when you start to describe correctly that the vice president has to be approved by the House and Senate, I was so very disappointed in the behavior of the Democrats about the Supreme Court that I don't trust them to do a good job. And we might get someone who's actually tolerable enough, who's in the vice presidency, who then starts to look good to the country.
Yep.
And that wouldn't be good. And that's why I say, again, if we get stuck with Cheney, we aren't stuck at all. We're ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I still say, let's go after Bush. And Cheney, we'd probably get to when he goes away. But if he doesn't, well, he'd be great to have as president for a little while. He wouldn't dare do what he'd like to do. And if he does, well, then we'll never see another Republican president ever again.
Well, the last part there I have trouble with, because even if Cheney only had 6 months as president, there's a lot of damage he could do, because he is not concerned for whatever reasons. Maybe he's got a ranch in Paraguay, too. But he just seems oblivious to the consequences of his violations of the Constitution.
But that would mean that maybe that horrible overreaching that you're right he would try to do would maybe man up the Democrats, the Congress. Maybe they'd finally stand up. Maybe even the Republicans might stand up.
Well, for the Democrats, I think we need to get Barry to cut loose and send him some of the clear.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Nice to hear from Capitola today. I want to set this up with a little traveling music, because today I got a CD in the mail that finally identifies for me the source of a tune that you've probably heard on this program at least once. This came from Tony Wiseguy. And maybe you recognize this?
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown?
The Republican Party has lost a great member. This just in from the Contra Costa Times in California. Lifelong Republican, Marine veteran, and a man I count as a friend, former Congressman Pete McCloskey has left the Republican Party and registered as a Democrat. McCloskey is disgusted with the succession of ethical scandals, congressmen taking bribes, and abuse of power by both the Republican House leadership and the highest appointees of the White House. A pox on Republicans and their values, wrote McCloskey. Well, we'll have to get Pete back on the program to amplify on that decision, but I certainly commend him. Richard in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're next in the Free Speech Zone.
Hi, Peter. How goes it today?
Doing all right, thanks.
All right, great. Well, I don't know. As you may remember, way back when, I was talking about how important prosecutors are, you know, federal prosecutors to, you know, our way of life and, you know, being one of the checks that keeps slime balls in check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I've kind of been on a news fast here from the television.
Well, you're probably better off for it.
Well, in some ways, yes.
I can summarize it for you briefly. You missed a whole lot of hot air about Don Imus, and you're missing a lot of tabloid coverage of a tragedy.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, I can handle missing that stuff. But what I wanted to ask you about is, what's your take on this thing? I heard a little bit of Fitzgerald being upset about the missing emails.
Right. Jason Leopold was on with us last hour, and if you go to truthout.org, he posted an article on Friday the 13th about this. But Fitzgerald complained that there were emails missing that he had subpoenaed. And keep in mind, and I'm sorry this comes back to our favorite Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez. He was the White House counsel at the time that the Fitzgerald investigation begun. And there was a lag between the time when Tim Cooney, who was the acting Attorney General because Ashcroft was in the hospital for a couple of days, Cooney called over to the White House and told Gonzalez that there was going to be an investigation of the Valerie Plame leak. And Gonzalez didn't ask any questions, clearly didn't want to know any more than he'd already been told. And then he waited something like 12 or 15 hours before he sent an email around to senior staff at the White House notifying them of the investigation and encouraging them to preserve all evidence.
Mm-hmm. And isn't this a time when Ashcroft was in the hospital? Didn't they try to get him to sign some other really constitutionally unsound act something to that effect?
Yeah, you're right. I think it had to do with terror or torture and Guantanamo, but
right.
I'm not 100% sure.
I think you're right. But, okay, well, so we've got all these missing emails akin to, I think it was Leahy who said, like the missing 18 minutes.
Right.
What do you think's going to come of this? Are we ever going to find this stuff? Is the RNC servers untouchable? What's the deal with that?
Well, number one, the RNC servers, if they still retain the information, and, as most of us know, we can delete an email from our screen and from our email program, but it generally is saved on the hard drive unless you go to, extra levels or just completely erase the hard drive.
Which would be, there would be evidence of that, right?
Should be. Yeah.
All right.
Secondly, we believe, but I'm not a lawyer, so don't rely on me, but I believe that the executive privilege claim that the White House would assert wouldn't apply to a server that's not controlled by the White House, that's
right.
Controlled by the RNC.
Right. Okay. And also, and here, I'd like to take this opportunity, any federal prosecutors out there, prosecute these bums. I mean, isn't there a law that says that all official White House business has to be, saved?
That is the Presidential Records Act, yes.
Right. Okay, mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll see some action on that. But, that's pretty much it I had to say. But, Peter, I love to hear the rabbis on the radio. Never heard a rabbi have anything to say I disagreed with.
Okay, great. Thanks for your call today,
Thanks,
Richard.
Peter. Bye-bye.
All right. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join the conversation, 888-573-8372. My email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Go ahead and use it.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair.
We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Hey, how's that for traffic coverage, everybody? KRXA 540 AM. Drive safely.
You got the Peter B. Collins Show. You ready? Al Cooper and a remake of the old Rare Earth tune, Get Ready, as Here I Come. 9 minutes away from the top of the hour, I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We're in the free speed zone. You can still join us, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Bob in Carmel Valley, welcome.
Hiya, Peter.
Hello, Bob.
I just understood that the Pharaoh has dictated that the flag be flown at half-mast tomorrow for his photo op.
Uh-huh.
That being the case, I maintain that the flag should have been flying at half-mast since the beginning of this oil crusade and imperial invasion of Iraq.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I believe that that would be an appropriate way to represent our sorrow at the misguided policies and the death machinery that was activated when Bush pulled the trigger.
Yeah, well, since the rabbi pointed out, Bush was never able to see certain mothers of soldiers who died,
mm-hmm.
Or was he able to appear at any funerals. So that's all I have to say today, Pedro, but thank you for being.
Well said, Bob. Thank you for the call.
Point.
Jake in Arcata, you're next. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi, Jake.
Hey, I'd like to discuss the impeachment of Bush and Cheney, but first I would like to welcome former Republican congressman and presidential candidate Pete McCloskey to the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see that McCloskey has finally broken away from the dark side. Of course, McCloskey's always been a great Republican.
He has. He's a great American.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to thank you for what you helped do to put Jerry McNerney in office, to get Richard Pombo out of there. And, you know, if McCloskey had not, you know, run against Pombo in the primary, it's a, you know, a possibility that Pombo would still be there.
Oh, I think
we don't know how corrupt Pombo was.
I think it's quite likely. The McCloskey campaign, and I had a minor role. I don't want to make it seem like I was in the driver's seat there. I produced some commercials and a paid radio show that Pete hosted. But he softened up the Republican base that had been routinely returning Pombo to office. And in the primary, the Modesto B acknowledged all of the criticisms that McCloskey had leveled at Pombo and essentially concluded he's corrupt, but he's our guy. And they refused to endorse McCloskey in the primary. But by fall, the Modesto B had decided that Pombo had to go. And that wouldn't have happened if McCloskey hadn't moved into the district and driven around in his mobile home, the RV, and really touched a lot of Republicans who weren't ready to make that decision in the summer. But by the time the fall came, they either just sat on their hands and let the Democrats put McNerney in, or in some cases actually crossed party lines and voted for McNerney.
That's right. And, you know, it is a great service to the country that Richard Pombo was removed. And I'd like to thank you and, of course, McCloskey for doing us a service. Getting on to impeachment, speaking of another Republican that needs to go, Cheney, you know, I do like the idea of removing Cheney first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because after all, if we do remove Bush and put Cheney in for, you know, however long, Cheney's a complete lunatic, and we all realize that he wants to start a war with Iran.
Yep.
And the only thing, I don't know what it is that's keeping us from that war with Iran right now. I know, you know, the whole issue of the Russian intelligence services, you know, leaking that information about the possible attack.
Right.
I think that may have delayed the attack, in fact. And, you know, they want to go in. This is the Project for the New American Century, you know, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl,
mm-hmm.
Donald Rumsfeld, all these guys, Scooter Libby, they put this stuff in writing even before they came into office, that they wanted to, you know, go to war with all these Middle Eastern countries that had lots of oil so they can control the resources there and basically, you know, create a new American empire. And what we see now, of course, is that the empire is crumbling, that in fact the invasion and occupation of Iraq has been disastrously counterproductive towards our foreign policy with the rest of the world.
Hey, wait a minute. You're just so negative, Jake.
Well,
don't you realize that this week, for the first time, the pound reached $2? I mean, Bush has presided over a sharp decline in the value of the dollar. And why you can't praise him for that is beyond me. You just can't get outside your own skin, Jake.
Well, you know, as long as the Bush crime family makes money, it's all good, right, Peter? I mean, that seems to be the philosophy of the Republican Party, is to give the Bush royal family whatever they want.
Well, put out your hand and wait for it to trickle down. Jake, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you again soon. Drew in Monterey, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, you know, just one thing that concerns me is, you know, when Bill Clinton addressed the nation and said that Saddam Hussein was an imminent threat to the free world and that he had weapons of mass destruction and was willing to use them, there was a war, right? Was it the Gulf War or the Desert Storm?
Drew, you got your history mixed up. Bill Clinton came after George H.W. Bush prosecuted Operation Desert Storm, which removed Iraqi forces from Kuwait.
Okay.
So
what was the Gulf War then?
That was the Gulf War. And I have never heard Bill Clinton claim that Saddam had WMD.
Really? That's weird, because I heard this address by him. I can't remember what station I heard it on, but he addresses the country saying that Saddam Hussein is an imminent threat to the free world and that he has weapons of mass destruction. And I think maybe he used the UN, so, you know, I don't know if, you know, America was directly tied into it. I think maybe he slapped some UN stickers on some, you know, American fighter planes and went into Iraq, and, you know, that kind of indirectly, you know, correlated America to it. But
Clinton did do was he signed a bill in 1998, which was called the Iraqi Freedom Act or something like that, and it stated a goal of liberating Iraq from Saddam Hussein. It was written over at the Project for New American Century, and it was jammed through while Clinton was trying to clean that stain off Monica's dress. So don't consider that to be any kind of a controlling statement on Clinton's part. I don't believe he ever flatly claimed that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Thanks for your call today, and I wish we had more time. Please call earlier in the hour if you want to get on in the free speech zone. I just want to close with one thought. Students who participated in Bush administration-sponsored sexual abstinence programs were just as likely to have sex as those who did not. Those who attended one of the four abstinence classes reviewed reported having similar numbers of sexual partners as those who did not attend classes. And they had sex first about the same age as other students, at 14.9 years of age. And that's the result you get by spending $176 million.
Oh, baby. Looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely. So abstain with me, baby.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Join me again tomorrow, same time, same stations. In the meantime, please abstain.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Some details emerged today about the gunman at Virginia Tech. He's identified as Cho Sung-hui, a South Korea-born 23-year-old who was majoring in English. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports authorities are now convinced that Cho's rampage started in the residence hall where two people were shot dead.
Investigators say after stopping at his dorm, Cho then traveled a half mile across campus, chained closed the doors at Norris Hall, and began methodically working his way through four classrooms, shooting students and teachers at will. Many have multiple gunshot wounds, a clear sign that Cho reloaded perhaps more than once before his rage ended in suicide.
Cho bought his first gun, a 9mm semi-automatic pistol, about 5 weeks ago. Perfectly legal, reports CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan.
Under federal law, to buy the gun, Cho had to show a government-issued photo ID, his green card, and proof that he lived in Virginia. In this case, his driver's license. He was also subjected to an instant criminal background check.
It turned up nothing. He had a clean record until yesterday. It's not clear whether Cho fired at random or sought out people he knew. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson has more on that.
At least two women killed in the rampage went to the same high school as the gunman. The girls were in the ninth grade when Cho was in 11th grade in 2003. Aaron Peterson was on the high school basketball team and the school newspaper. Rima Shamaha was in the cooking club.
She loved life. She loved to dance. She was just a terrific dancer. Everyone loved Rima. I mean, she was just so special.
Family friend Luann McNabb says she doesn't know if Rima and Cho ever knew each other. Police aren't saying whether the fact they all went to high school together is a coincidence or if Cho knew and targeted the two victims from his hometown high school.
This evening, a candlelight vigil was held on campus. Earlier, a convocation attended by thousands of students, faculty members, and staff addressed by President Bush.
It's impossible to make sense of such violence and suffering. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now they're gone, and they leave behind grieving families and grieving classmates and a grieving nation.
He's ordered flags at half-staff on all government buildings until Sunday night. Another speaker today was poet and distinguished professor...